Chevra, just want to thank Rabbi Grauer, who is on his way from New York to Toronto, driving, making a stop over here in Cayley to see his outstanding nephews and his son. Probably want to see his son, I would imagine, but his nephews are great too. And I want to thank him for taking the opportunity to share Torah with us. Certainly looking forward to it.
Thank you, Rabbi Leibowitz. Can I ask everyone to grab a Chumash and Rashi, if possible, to have a few around? Is that okay? Okay. First of all, what an incredible chus to see this Beis Medrash and to see all of you sitting and learning here. Poskim b'chol atzanya. A big thank you to Rabbi Leibowitz for having me. Thank you, my nephew Ephraim, for being such a great leader with his other partners in the context of this really, really amazing, incredible masvinim that you guys have. I'll tell you that thinking back on my own summers, my favorite summers that I had, again, this is going back a long time ago, but were the summers that I spent involved in Marosh HaKolel, back in Kibbutz Marosh. I was in Kibbutz Marosh for about 12 summers, a very long time ago, and then I had the privilege once to be a madrich on Enzi Zwei Kolel when it was in Efrat. So Enzi Zwei Kolel was in Efrat, Ruma Kamenetsky was running it and in charge and everything else. I spent summer there also, and these summers that you spend involved in learning and in camp and being mashbia, others, is really, really amazing. And you shouldn't take it for granted. And you should take time at some point to give a karas hatov, not just to the counselors and of course to Rabbi Leibowitz, but to anyone who has an impact on your ability to be here for the summer, because it really, really is special. And demonstrating that karas hatov and thanking the people who are able to make this possible, whether it's your parents who send you here for the summer, or whether it's Rabbi Brazil, or whoever it is, it shows them how much you value this summer and what they have offered you and what you're able to do. And it's something that I think should be stated. So what I'd like to do, I was told Parsha Musar for about a half hour, is to pick up on an idea I actually saw this past Shabbos, but I think it connects beautifully to this coming week's Parsha as well as the 3 weeks which we're in the middle of right now. In 1965, Lubavitcher Rebbe lost his mother. And Lubavitcher Rebbe started giving a set of shiurim on a Rashi and Chumash. Every single Shabbos, he started giving shiurim on a Rashi and Chumash. And these shiurim that he gave on Rashi and Chumash were Le'ilui Nishmas, his mother. And some of them were published, some of them were written up. Now, I started learning some of these shiurim because they're absolutely incredible and amazing, and I've recently started to learn much more Hasidus in general. Part of the reason I'm here that Rabbi Leibowitz didn't mention is I had a head of school meeting in New York, and hosted actually by Hafter, and Rabbi Kamenetsky was there, and many of your teachers or principals, whoever it is, were there. And one of the topics we spoke about is the need to have a little bit more Hasidus in all of our schools in general. I live in Toronto. I'm the Rosh Yeshiva at Or Chaim. I don't know if anyone here know anyone from Or Chaim in Toronto. Yeah, you have friends. Anyway, so I've been there a number of years. And it's something we're trying to do as well. We're trying to incorporate as much Hasidus as possible within our learning, within our shiurim, because we believe that it has incredible value to our Avodas Hashem as a complete individual. So the Lubavitcher Rebbe, in effect, took one Rashi in each Parsha, asked a whole slew of questions on that Rashi, and then answered it in the context of trying to put together a mahalach and a message, and I think is a beautiful message for the 3 weeks. So I want to learn that Rashi with you. And we're going to hopefully answer the questions, and then give a little bit of message. So if you look at the first Rashi in Parshas Pinchas, Parshas Pinchas, first Rashi, then we're going to get into Matos also, so you feel like you're in both places, okay? So the Torah tells us, Vayidaber Hashem Moshe, Lemor, Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKoin, Heshivet Chamatim al Bnei Yisrael v'Kanos, V'yatim v'Tocham lo'kalisiyas v'Bnei Yisrael v'Kirasi. So we know the story. I'm sure tons of people spoke about Pinchas this past Shabbos. They may even have spoken about Pinchas the Shabbos before, because you had Balak, so you had the Maftir and Balak, and you have first Eliyahu Pinchas, so you probably know everything there is to know about Pinchas. But maybe I'll mention something in this Rashi that you haven't thought of. So what does Rashi say? So Rashi says, Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen. Rashi writes the following. He says, Lefi shahiyu ha-shvatim mevazin oto. The shvatim were in effect making fun of Pinchas. They were saying bad things about Pinchas. They were saying not nice things about him. Okay? And what did they say? They said, Hari'itim ben puti zeh. Do you see this ben puti? We'll explain what that means in a minute. Shepitim avi imo agalim l'avodah zarah, whose mother fattened cows for avodah zarah. The harad nasi shevim Yisrael. Rhetorical question. He goes along and he kills a nasi of a shevet in Klal Yisrael. L'tichach b'hakasu v'yachasu achar Aaron. And therefore the Torah goes, the Torah tells us a yichas of Pinchas, that he was ben Elazar, ben Aaron. Tells us about the Zeta, tells us about the Saba, tells us about the grandfather Aaron. Okay, so Rashi in effect tells us, what's bothering Rashi, what's the question? Rashi's bothered by, why is it that we're focusing on Pinchas and his grandfather? And not only that, but also, we just mentioned that at the end of Balak. So if you look in the Maftir in Balak, a few psukim earlier, right? Literally three psukim earlier, Vayar Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen, and Torah continues and tells us the story. So we know his yichus already. We know that Pinchas has ben Elazar ben Aaron, number one. And number two, why the focus? Why the connection? Why this, you know, relationship that is mentioned twice in the context of Pinchas? So that's the question that's bothering Rashi. So what does Rashi say? Rashi says, well, you see, we have to, in effect, redeem Pinchas because his genealogy is being questioned. How so? Who is this Ben Puti? So Chazal tell us that Pinchas had one grandfather who was Aaron HaKohen. But who was the other grandfather? Anyone know? Yitro, exactly, right? Yitro from the mother's side. So the father was Elazar, the mother was Yitro's daughter, Tzipora's sister, right? It means that that in effect, Aaron and Yitro were machatonim, their kids got married, and all of a sudden, the Shvatim were being mevazeh Pinchas, the Shvatim were criticizing, ridiculing Pinchas by saying, look at this guy who used to fatten cows for Avodah Zarah. How could he have the gall, the gumption, how could he have the arrogance to go ahead and kill a nasi of a shaven Israel? Okay, so that's Rashi. So far so good? Everyone with me? Okay, so the Baba Chirivi asks four questions on this Rashi. Each one is better than the next. Okay? First question he asks is the following. He says, I don't understand. Rashi says, L'fisha hayu ha-shvatim mevazin oto. The shvatim were mevazin oto. Which shevet should have been mevazeh Pinchas? Which shevet should have been upset? Shimon, right? Shevet Shimon should have been upset, rightfully so. Pinchas goes ahead and he kills the nasi of Shevet Shimon. So I understand that Shevet Shimon should have been upset. They had a right. But all the shvatim, l'fisha hayu ha-shvatim, mevazin oto, the other shvatim, should have been very happy. Why should they have been very happy? Because Pinchas did an incredible toiva to them. Right? Pinchas helped them in an amazing, amazing way. Right? The Torah tells us that the Shvatim were crying. All of the Shvatim were crying. If you look back a few psukim, Pasuk Vav, a few psukim earlier, Torah tells us, V'hinei ish v'bnei Yisrael bav v'yakrei v'alachav etamidjanit l'hinei Moshe l'hinei kol adat b'nei Yisrael. It happened before all of Klal Yisrael. V'hem abochim. Petach ohel moed. They were crying. At the ohel moed. All of them. All of Klal Yisrael was crying. And not only that, but what did Pinchas' act do? Ultimately, Pinchas' act, what did it stop? The magefa, the plague. An incredible death. Incredible plague was happening. And by Pinchas' act, he stops an incredible plague. So, okay, I understand Shevet Shimon's upset. I get it. They lost their nasi. They feel it was wrong. They feel it was unfair. Whatever the case may be. But question number one, why is it l'fisha yu hashvatim mevazin oto? Okay, question one. Question two is the following. Chazal tell us, based on Psukim and Sefer Shmot, based on the Mechilta, that Yitro was an expert in Avodah Zarah. Chazal tell us, Rashi, it's a Rashi in Sefer Shmot, by Yitro, and it says, Ata Yadati, right? Ki Gadol Hashem Mikol Elokim. Now I know that you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, are correct, that you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, are right. So Chazal tells Yitro had tried all the Avodah Zarah in the world. Yitro knew all the Avodah Zarah, he knew everything there was to know, he was an expert in all the Avodah Zarah, all the different types. So Baba Chirivi asks, so why specify this specific Avodah Zarah of Pitim Agalim le'Avodah Zarah? The whole thing is so strange. Shepitim Avi Imo Agalim le'Avodah Zarah. You could just tell me that he was criticizing Pinchas because his grandfather worshipped Avodah Zarah. Or you can mention any number of old day Avodah Zarah examples that could have been done, right? But Rashi specifically goes out of his way to mention a specific nekuda in a unique type of dikduke dinim in Avodah Zarah. It's so strange. There are so many types of Avodah Zarah that could have been mentioned. Or you could have just been general about it and say that his grandfather was an Ovid of Avodah Zarah, his grandfather was an expert. Why is it Shepitim Avi Imo Agolam La Avodah Zarah? Okay, so question two, why is that the specific Avodah Zarah that's mentioned? Okay, so far so good. Question three, if you look at Rashi, Rashi leaves out one word after Aaron's name. If you look at the end of the Rashi, Lefichach bo hakatuv v'yechasu achar Aaron. What should come after Aaron? Hakohen. It says it twice. It says it once, Pinchas ben Elozim ben Aaron hakohen. First pasuk in Parshas Pinchas. Right at the beginning of the Maftir and Parshas Balak. Right, Vayar Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen. But yet, when Rashi mentions Pinchas, question three, he only mentions Vayichasu Achar Aaron. Once he's talking about Aaron, once he's mentioning it, he could have added in one more word, HaKohen. Perfect. That's it. Right? He should have said it, Kohen. So question three is, why leave out the word Kohen? And his last question, which is really an overarching question in the entire Rashi, is Ma'inyan Shemitah Leitzah Har Sinai. What is going on here? Let me ask you a question. Pinchas acted. He did something, right? He either committed murder or he did an incredibly zealous act, which was a Mekadesh Shem Shemayim, and which saved Klal Yisrael from a Magefa and was the right thing to do. One or the other. He's either right or he's wrong. Now we know he's right because we know the end of the story, right? But the Shvatim, Klal Yisrael, also knew that he was right. Okay? And if he wasn't right, then he was Chayav Mita. So why even have them criticize him because of who the grandfather is? Meaning that let's just look at his act and let's just see if he's right or he's wrong. He did the right thing or he did the wrong thing. And then act accordingly. If he did the wrong thing, so we'll bring a Bez Din and we'll figure out what his punishment is and we'll act accordingly. And if he did the right thing, so we'll give him a Yashar Koyach. But the whole comparison, the criticism from the grandfather, from the Zeder who worshipped idols, the whole thing makes no sense. What is Rashi even talking about here? So those are the four questions the Baba Chervi asks. Okay? Any thoughts, answers, predictions? What do you think? And I'll tell you where he goes with it. Yeah, Bakasha, what's your name?
Binyamin,
okay.
They were worried, the reason why Yisrael was crying out even though it wasn't affecting them, because maybe it was Pinchas was setting a dangerous precedent that even such a guy like him would be able to become erodid and kill such a
okay. Okay, they're worried about the precedent. What he did is a unique situation, maybe. Okay, and that's why they were all upset. Okay, good, maybe. Anybody else? Any other thoughts, predictions, answers? Okay, so we'll jump right in. You can stop me at any point. So there's one overarching assumption that the Lubavitcher Rebbe teaches that he makes before we can answer each question, and that is the following, okay? Picture the scene. Zimri, Cosby, put yourself there. You're stunned. You're shell-shocked. You're in a state of paralysis. You don't know what to do. Okay, and all of a sudden, Pinchas goes and he acts. And Pinchas goes ahead and he steps up. And Taki, he does the right thing because the Magefa is finished, right? So we know he does the right thing. Everyone else is standing around. And what are they thinking at that moment? Why didn't I have the gall, the gumption, the confidence, the ability to do that also? What's stopping me? I could have done it. We all could have been Pinchas. Every single person standing there was just so shell-shocked over what they were watching, over what they were seeing, that to some extent they're watching and they're thinking, why didn't I do that? I missed my moment. I could have been the leader. I could have been the one to step up and do the right thing, and I was too busy, unsure. I was hesitating. I was thinking. I was paying attention to something else. I didn't know what to do. So the assumption that the Baba Chervi makes is that every member of Klal Yisrael felt a tinge of guilt or a little bit of a missed opportunity. There was a little bit of a sense of nebuch. I didn't do what I should have done. Okay, because they missed out on this opportunity to be the leader, to be the one, to act in the proper way. Okay? Now, how would they make themselves feel better? How would they find a way to say, no, 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 you know, it's, I did the right thing. I didn't miss out. If they could find a way to excuse Pinchas's act for some ulterior motive. If they could look at what Pinchas did, and in effect they could say, oh, Pinchas did that because X, Y, Z, but I couldn't have. Meaning it never would have been possible for me to have acted that way. And this way they'll save face. And this way they'll save their own reputation of sorts. They'll feel better about the fact that they didn't do anything. And that's a little bit of a chiddush. But what does Lubavitcher Rebbe suggest? He says the following. He says the only way to do that is to demonstrate and to try to show that there was something inherent in Pinchas' yichus, or there was something about Pinchas' DNA that allowed him to act that Klal Yisrael could look at in a critical way. They could be a little bit cynical. They could be a little bit defensive about it. What's that? How so? So he suggests the following. He says, what is the greatest level of achzarius? What does achzarius mean?
Cruelty.
What's the greatest level of achzarius? To go ahead and feed an animal, fatten an animal, right before you're about to shecht it. A person who has the ability to go ahead and feed the animal just to make it a gezunta animal, so that when you shecht it, the avodah zara that you're going to perform is a higher level, such that the animal has been fattened, that's a meat of achzarius. Why is it a meat of achzarius? Because you're giving the animal food, not outs the animal, not in terms of the animal being able to enjoy his meal and to give and fill up his stomach, but you're giving the animal food so that you can shecht him a minute later. So the point is that Klal Yisrael can look at Pinchas and they can say, Pinchas, he is cruel. He had cruelty in his DNA. He had a sense of cruelty, of achzarius, that he has a mesorah from the Zeta, from Yitro, who used to be pitim, golem, lavodazara. And therefore, while we were all hesitating because of thinking about ethics and morals and values and what's right and what's wrong, and should we kill them and should we act, Pinchas was able to jump right in and not even hesitate for a moment because of the fact that he had this from Yitro. Now it's a wild chiddush, okay? In both in human intellect, in motivation, in self-consciousness associated with how a person acts. But the Babaji Rebbe says that's the key to understanding the entire Rashi. Now let's go through it, and then let's take it from there. Meaning what? Once we suggest that Pinchas had this little bit, this trait of achzarius within him, so that allowed him to act right then and there. Again, why? Question number one. Why is it that it was Lefisha Kol HaShvatim Mivazim? Why were all the Shvatim Mivazim? Because every Shevet, every Jew, every individual was looking around and feeling and saying, I should have acted, I could have acted, I messed up, I missed an opportunity. I had this wonderful opportunity to demonstrate and show I was a leader. And therefore, I feel bad. I feel bad that he showed me up and he stepped up. And I look like a Nebuch, I look like a nothing. So the only way that I can raise myself up is by lowering him. There are two ways in which we can raise ourselves in life, either by raising ourselves or by lowering our friend. Either way, we go higher, right? There's a godless in raising ourselves, raising our own standards, and not lowering someone else. But they wanted to be mevazeh Pinchas to demonstrate and show that they didn't do anything wrong. Why do they pick apart the trait of shepitim agolim lavarazar? Because it's gufa, that trait that they needed to demonstrate and show that Pinchas had a little bit of achzarius within him that allowed him not to hesitate and that allowed him to be able to act right then and there and go ahead and not hesitate in the context of it. Question three, why is it Yechasu Achar Aharon and not HaKohen? Because the kahuna is irrelevant here. Meaning what? Ultimately, what Rashi wants to show is Aharon was the Ohev Shalom, the Rodev Shalom. Aharon was the individual who was able to always create peace among Klal Yisrael. And in fact, Pinchas by killing Zimri and Cosby, by committing this act, by stopping the Magefa, he created Shalom. He was given the Briti of Shalom. His act should not be seen based on Achzarias, should not be seen based on cruelty. His act was the ultimate individual sacrifice to stop the Magefa, to create peace among Kol Yisrael. And that's why it's not about the Yichus of being a Kohen. There are other Kohanim. It's not about the Kohen, the Aaron or Kohen. It's about Aaron. And what's the connection between the whole thing? Is Pinchas either right or is he the wrong? No. He says it's exactly this piece that is the key to it. Because what Rashi's in effect demonstrating and showing is that Klal Yisrael were wrong in right away looking to be Mevaza Pinchas. Klal Yisrael were wrong in right away looking to find a way to lower him in order to raise themselves. Klal Yisrael were wrong in thinking that his intentions were anything but L'shem Shamayim. And this is where there's a critical component here. You know, most of the time we explain Mitov Shelo L'shma Bo L'shma. What does Mitov Shelo L'shma Bo L'shma mean? Basic understanding. Who can help me out here? What does Mitov Shelo L'shma Bo L'shma mean? Yeah?
Fake it till you make it.
Okay, fake it till you make it, right? Keep doing it, and eventually it will become real, right? You're not necessarily, you know, so into night seder, you're tired, you're exhausted, but you know what, Baruch Hashem, there's an incredible amount of positive peer pressure that exists in this space, Medrash. And therefore you're going to come and you're going to do night seder and miss out on Color War Breakout or whatever it is that's going on in that room with all the noise over there, you know, even though it's super exciting, because mitov shelo l'shma, you know, there's a lot of positive peer pressure, and the hope is that eventually you'll get into it. Eventually you'll get excited about it. And in fact, so much of what goes on in so many yeshivas and in so many high schools and in so many, you know, institutions is all about that principle. Mitov shelo l'shma bo l'shma. There's so much. Any time that you have, you know, a pizza dinner or a reward for this or an incentive for that, one of the greatest incentives Rabbanim do for kids in high school is food. By all measures, it's constant, okay? Any yeshiva you're in, it doesn't matter if it's MTA or TABC or DRS or in Toronto or in Cleveland, Chicago, if there's Torah, there's food, almost always. Okay, why? Because the hope is it's going to bring people to learn. The goal is the food's going to bring them in. And the more that they enjoy the food and the wings and the poppers and whatever else there is the popular snack of the day, these days it's sushi. All of my students ask for sushi constantly. Sushi's very expensive. Pizza used to be a lot cheaper. But okay, so you have to bring sushi. So the sushi will bring people to learn. And what's going to happen? Mitov shelo l'shma bo l'shma, right? And again, even if there's an assumption that he's there for the wrong reason, we don't care. Because the maisa, he's there. But in Chabad circles, in Lubavitcher Rebbe's world and vision, what does mitov shelo l'shma bo l'shma mean? Something very different. It means that even if you think it's shelo l'shma, it really is l'shma. Meaning what? It's impossible that a yid, that a Jew, would perform a mitzvah, any form of a good deed, any form of a good act, ben adam l'chaver, ben adam l'makum, it doesn't matter. Right? The only way it would happen is because it's what the person really wants and really desires. And he may not realize it or not, but mitov shelo l'shma bo l'shma means that even when you think it's shelo l'shma, it really is l'shma. Because within our neshamas, it's a desire to do good. Why is it, Rabbi Leibowitz mentioned, that we have such an incredible outpouring of kidney donations within our community, way and above all other communities and all other ethnic groups? It's because in the end of the day, we are a people who want to help each other. We're all one family. We all love each other. We all care about each other. And we want to do good things. We want to do mitzvahs. And saving a person's life, what higher level mitzvah could a person ever find? Meaning, even if a person is doing a shelo l'shma, it's l'shma. So part of the challenge is that when the Shvatim were being mevaze Pinchas, right away they were looking for a shelo l'shma element. Right away, according to this understanding in Rashi, they were saying, no, the reason that this happened is because it was an ulterior motive. There was an ulterior reason. They weren't giving him the benefit of the doubt. They weren't being down the kaf's chutz. And I think that if we could consider or think about one message as we're in the heart of the 3 weeks and we're getting ready for Rosh Chodesh Av and the 9 days in Tisha B'Av and the difference between loving our friends, you know, versus baseless hatred in the context of why the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, and sinas chinam versus avas chinam, and what we can do to each other It's so much about being down l'kav schus and looking at what people are doing. Instead of thinking about it from the perspective of what's the wrong reason, look at it from the perspective of the right reason. And instead of thinking about it from the perspective of why is it happening, why is that person doing this, what am I missing, what's the ulterior motive, what's the motivation, instead of being cynical or skeptical or questioning, take it at face value. Appreciate what's happening around you. Say thank you. Be down the kastchus. Look for the positive in every interaction and in everything. And time doesn't permit, but if you look at the interaction in Parshas Matos, specifically in Shlishi, Perek Lamed Beis, Pasuk Aleph, I was going to go through the psukim here and show you the conversation that happens between Reuven Gad and the representatives of Reuven Gad who want to stay on the Eber HaYarden and want to settle there, and Moshe Rabbeinu, and how that conversation goes back and forth in terms of whether or not their motives were pure or not, and how Moshe understood their request, and how ultimately Vayikshu, it's a very powerful pasuk Tet Zayin, where it says Vayikshu Elav Vayomru. What is Vayikshu? They approached him and they said, think of Vayigash Elav Yehuda. There's this idea of approaching and this idea of connecting and demonstrating and showing Moshe and saying, no, you don't understand. Our intentions are pure. Vanachnu Nechalet Chushim Lefnei B'nei Yisrael. We're going to be the first ones. We're going to go first. We're going to make sure that they're successful. We're going to make sure they're settled. We're going to be at the front of the battle. We're not going to turn back around and return to the Eber Yarden until every Jew is settled. We are in this for the right reasons. We are in this because of the fact that we want to help our brothers and help Klal Yisrael. And if you look at the Pesukim, you can see a beautiful interaction there that really bears this out as well in looking at the motivation behind why a person does what they do. So the message or the thought that I leave you with as you approach and get really into the 3 weeks and into the 9 days is, especially in a camp environment, there's always an opportunity to look at what people do and to see it in two different ways. We can judge people for positive, we can judge people for negative. We can look at what they do and we can see it with a glass half full, glass half empty. We can be positive, we can be negative. And to the extent that we want to build more avas chinam and we want to try to connect and try to be nicer to each other and work on our ben adam l'chaveira with each other, part of the way to do that is to take what people are doing and see it in a beautiful light, and see it in a wonderful way. Assume the good, assume the best interaction, assume the best intentions. Make the assumption that if someone is doing something, it has to be for the right reasons, and conversely, if we see someone doing something that seems to be wrong, try to see if there's a way in which we can find a good explanation for it. Maybe I misunderstood, maybe I'm misinterpreting, maybe I'm jumping to conclusions, maybe I think this and it's really that. Because so often in life we misjudge situations, and so often in life we think we understand things, but we really don't. So often in life it takes a week, a month, a year later, and we're like, oh my goodness, I didn't realize that this was the reason for that. I thought it was because of this, but it was really because of that. I totally misunderstood, I totally misinterpreted, and then I feel so bad at how I acted. I feel like I wasn't fair. I feel like I didn't, but it's too late at that point. So instead, as we approach the 9 days, let's look at interactions when we can and assume the best. Not take the approach that they took for Pinchas, not take the approach perhaps that Moshe Rabbeinu or Klal Yisrael took in terms of Reuven Gad, but always look to try to find and give people the benefit of the doubt and to be down the kastos. It was really a privilege to be here with you guys and learn a little bit. A big yeshiva. If you should continue to strive, you should continue to learn as much as possible, try to make the most out of every minute, because a week from Wednesday, that's it, you're back home. And you're going to miss this. So, kol hakavod, yeshiva.
What's the sefer called?
The which one? It's Likutei Shirim. It's got many, many volumes. This one, there happens to be that there's a few that's been written up in different places and in different ways. John De Sachs actually has some different articles on some of those shirim. If you want, I have to send you the makaris. Okay, sure.